Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just got to get back to doing what I do, you know, playing football, you know. I used to play there. And, you know, I just got to pick up my performance. I don't care who I play. I just want to pick up my performance. That's all. And, yeah.
What are your feelings about your time there and just how things went?
It went great. Didn't end well. It went great. Those people showed me number love, and, you know, I love them back. You know, I appreciate Mr. Kraft, Bill Belichick, all those guys, you know. I already had this conversation before, so, yeah, no bad blood.
So has now seen the video of Malcolm Butler talking?
Yeah, in a locker room.
And what do you think?
Looks thick in the face.
You think he looks fat?
No, fat is not the right word.
That's what you're saying.
Remember what Tommy Heinsohn said about Kyrie Irving? He looks like he's 5 pounds heavier than me than he was last year.
I think he looks exactly the same.
He's recovering from an injury. To me, he looks like he's 5 pounds overweight, but I haven't seen him on the scale.
Right, maybe.
You think Tommy got that, by the way, on his own just by looking at Harry?
Hell no.
No way. No way.
Does Zoe get it on his own?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he plays for another team.
It's different hair. Malcolm.
The new haircut. It's the new haircut.
And he's got a full beard and mustache. And he just, you know what he looks like? He looks like Zeke to me. Running back from Dallas. He looks a little like him.
Because he has the same haircut?
I mean, Zeke looks like a little thick. Well, I always thought he was a little heavy up top. But Malcolm looks...
Oh, training. New team.
Whoa.
That doesn't make your head look bigger, does it?
No.
You see
no,
pictures of Barry Bonds, you nitwit? I'm not saying that. You said
no,
that.
No.
I just think...
I didn't
hold
say
a little more water in the
it
face.
It could be
retaining water.
It could be as much as just like 4 pounds or 5 pounds more than what he was last year. And that's a hell of a world of difference for a corner.
You think that's what's causing him to play the way that he's playing?
I remember when Ty had a tough time. Like, he didn't have a tough time dropping weight, but he knew that, damn, if I could just stay under every week and every day after practice, he would be on with that rubber suit on a treadmill running. Just to stay down, because he knew he'd be lighter on his feet. He was the greatest corner I ever played with, but he knew that for me to run with guys like Molds and stuff, I got to stay light, and I got to eat salad. And I remember he'd eat salad for Thursdays and Fridays, but that's how you train. Like, that's what the smart ones do. I think Malcolm, if you watch him, it's all technique. I mean, he's getting spun around.
Okay.
His ankles are getting broken.
So what's the diff?
I don't think they're giving him any help or anything. They're leaving him out there on an island.
I don't think
he's a good out there on an island type player.
Do you have anything happen to this guy? I think he got paid. He doesn't give a damn. It happens to a lot of players. They get paid. They're never the same guy.
See, here they stay on you, obviously. You know, they stay on you. They wear, and according to all the report, they wear you down because nobody's fun. All we do is work and work out. And then you get in a new place, you get a hell of a lot of money, and maybe get a little more leeway with stuff. And sometimes you take it into your own hands. I remember when Parcells left here, we had Pete. Everything changed. The whole complexion of the locker room changed. We ran the locker room then. Bill Parcells ran the locker room. Pete Carroll did not run our locker room. And that's a difference. That's a big difference. Maybe you could push coming in closer to the meeting. I mean, look at these pictures on NBC Sports Boston. He doesn't look like the same guy in the face. Now, scroll back through those pictures you guys just had up.
Passer rating against.
People on the simulcast.
141.8.
He's like grading out as one of the worst corners in the league.
Quarterbacks are 39 of 54 against him. 54 targets. They've completed 39 passes against him. He's responsible for half of his team's touchdowns. You're not going to tell me that's because he's 4 or 5 pounds overweight, so stop.
I'm not.
Come on.
I'm just trying.
You just want to fat shame Malcolm Butler.
No, I don't. I love the player, and I preface it with that. You know I love the player. I thought they should have paid. They should have got ahead of this and offered him the $9 to $10 million, or maybe he turned that down. That's what pissed him off. But He's a guy you picked. It's a guy you gave a chance to. He was here for four years. He played hard. He worked hard. I wished it worked out for him here. I'm not sitting here taking one of these Gaspard victory laps that they made the right choice here. Hell no! I'm the one that came in all
no, but you're trying to figure out the reason. Super Bowl. You're trying to figure
why does he look
out
so
a,
bad?
A football why? Physical reason why he looks so bad.
And maybe it's
and
just,
I think you're reaching.
Maybe they viewed him obviously as a number one corner, and he's not.
No, like, no. Hold on. You don't think he's got the ability to be a number one corner?
Yes, but.
Of course he does. We've seen that. We saw it here when it really was important to him and he was really competing.
How many times you watch him when he's getting beat by these touchdowns, especially one earlier year we looked on, even on the Bell Street. Safety help.
They brought in Gilmore last year, and what happened to him? He immediately became
sensitive.
Less than what he had been.
Right.
And he never recovered from it.
Yeah. So, okay, so you go there, and they pay you, and they make you number one. Then you should have a little swagger. You should have a little cockiness to you. I don't sense it. And I don't see any safety help with him. They're leaving him on an island. And this can be partly on Vrabel, too. Like, right, how many times do we have to go through it back in the day where Logan Ryan would take the guy? He's the one to match up. Guess what's happening Sunday? I'm telling you, they're going to break the huddle. And number 10, Josh Gordon's going to split left, and guess who's going to fall him? 26.
You've got to factor in how upset he was last offseason. Not this past one, but now two offseasons ago. How upset he was that he did not get paid. How upset his agent was that he did not get paid. How they tried to get that trade done to New Orleans. How he went and visited New Orleans. He wanted his money. That's all he could think about was money, money, money. Now he's got his money. So now what? He's half the player he used to be. Got paid, doesn't care enough to follow through on the contract.
Yeah.
He got his money. That's what he wanted. He got it. Doesn't look good for him. Because the guy he is right now on the field is not the guy, not the best of his ability. We've seen it. We saw Malcolm Butler at his best. Malcolm Butler was a top five corner in the league when he was at his best, when he was motivated to be that player, when he had good coaching behind him from the Patriots staff. Now, yuck. What a bad signing. This is already a bad signing for the Tennessee Titans. We're halfway through season one of Malcolm Butler. It looks like a horrible signing. Not good. He's got his money. That's what it is. It's nothing else.
Yeah, and if he looks that bad, safeties are – they have one good safety. The front's okay. This is why I keep getting closer and closer to this game. And you getting two guys back, it's just – they shouldn't be able to hang with you. They shouldn't. Now you come out and you start fast. You get Malcolm thinking again. You hit him on a couple. And I think at some point, if the matchup takes it there, they won't be afraid to attack him. It's not like they're going to go away from him because they feel bad for him. If they feel he's the worst corner, you know what you do and what you're taught in this league? Throw out the worst corner. Throw out the weakness. And if that weakness is evident on film, they're going to attack him. I think they're going to attack him this weekend.
Chris is in the car. What do you got for us today, Chris?
Hey, guys. What's up, Zo?
What's up, man?
So I wanted to shed some light, in my opinion, on why I think, Bita, you're touching upon it with the Suns struggles early on, and especially the last three games. I think it was right out of the gate. They've been really struggling from three. And, you know, when the three's not falling, I hate this whole, oh, we'll just keep chucking them up. That mentality's got to go, you know. And then on the defensive side, they just don't have the intensity that, you know, we saw the latter part of last year and into the playoffs. I mean, I know Brad's system, and I know the NBA is now all about 3-and-D and all that stuff, but I just feel like when the threes aren't falling and you're cold, so don't keep shooting threes. You know, bring the ball in, kick the ball to the rim, get the fouls, let the ball, you know, get hard again, and then kick it out for threes when you start, you know, feeling it again. You know,
yeah, this goes back to that game last week against the Bucks. I'm convinced of it. They shot the three well. They used it to propel them to victory, and now they're confident in that. Now they feel like that could be their way out. Taking too many threes, too many threes. It's all they want to do now is take big shots. It's a problem. One of their issues, but I don't think it's the issue. There's something mental that goes bigger than anything they're actually doing on the court. There's something attitude-wise. We've talked about it. Like, what's the malaise here? What's the issue here? Do they look like a team that has a lot of energy? I guess in the comeback they did last night, but that was sort of desperation time.
I mean, do you need like a, I don't know, San Antonio or Houston or, you know, Cleveland when LeBron was there for them to elevate their game? Is that what you need? What do you need, Philly to come in? The
Toronto?
Philly
they need an ass-kicking by Toronto? Is that what they need?
No, I'm not massing it. I'm saying, dude, they need a team that they need. We got some.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about a playoff series. I'm talking about an individual game.
I know. It's almost like it's like Rondo. It's like the game doesn't have enough juice for him.
Get one silver lining from last night.
What's that?
One role is established. This is Kyrie's team.
Absolutely. I do
love
that.
It's not Tatum's team. It's not all those rumors. No, this is Kyrie's team. That's one role established. Maybe it's one at a time they're going to establish themselves.
Get more of your calls coming up next. We got Read and React coming up at 11:36.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Who is
that?
It's pretty good. This fish.
Ah, oh, fish. A pH. Even I know that.
617-779-0985. Pam is in the car. What do you got for us, Pam?
Hey, I'm wondering what is known about the relationship of Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel in light of the fact that he gave such a big contract in Malcolm Butler.
Well, I think it goes beyond Mike Vrabel. I don't think it was Vrabel that gave him the contract.
Well, you got John Robinson.
You got John Robinson, who's a former Patriot guy.
Yep.
Who was making those calls.
Yep.
So he's got a good relationship with Bill Belichick, as far as we know, right?
And Malcolm's like a 4-year starter.
Listen, do you blame a team for signing Malcolm Butler?
No, he's a good player.
God, no.
Good player.
How would they have known? But you know what? Let me rewind to half a second there. How would they have known? They should have looked at last year as, what's going to happen to this guy when he gets paid? This guy really just wants his money. He really wants his money. He didn't play well when they brought in Gilmore.
Yeah.
He pouted all year, admitted that he got off to a really bad start in camp, which he did, and he was okay. He was good. He just wasn't at his level.
See, that's the thing with
Gilmore.
He didn't
play to his potential last year.
Gilmore was a high pick already with Buffalo, so you could say on the flip side, why in the Patriots worry about Gilmore? What would happen if we step in first, 20 minutes of free agency, sign him? What's he going to do with all this money? Well, I think he's already at that level, you know, mentally. It's all new to Malcolm. It's all new. And maybe it's sort of a reset period where he's got to adjust. And he said, hey, I'm telling you, I'm going to show you. I'm going to play better. Everybody will see. You'll see. I'll see. Everybody will see. So it's a wait-and-see period now with Malcolm until he corrects what he's doing. And they got to help him. And that's up to Vrabel, to her point. You know, Vrabel's got to understand, we got to give this kid help. You know, when you're slacking as a player, or you're not up to par, you're not up to speed, like a guy that's coming back from an injury, it's a receiver, it's slot, hit him on a couple inside little quick routes, you know, just get him the ball, get him feeling it. I don't think this look like he's up 100%. So it's like you got to get something going with these guys. And then you spring it on him. Then you roll it out maybe in 4 weeks where you're getting some confidence, his legs up under him to where we could go get people, put him out there on an island. You're just sticking him out there on an island at the start of the year, and the numbers are just atrocious against him right now. He's not playing well right now. He should have something. He should have a little more pep in his step for this game. He should be ready. He should want this. He should want to pick Brady off.
Rick and Quincy on Malcolm Butler. Rick.
Yeah, I agree with Zulak says about Butler, because he's a former player. You know, he would know. But the one thing I hear that people aren't talking about is, you know, Butler had his spirits broken at Super Bowl, right? Like, he's not the same player. He's an emotional player. And, you know, like a kid who's scared of the bully, now he's not talking negative about the Patriots.
Do you have a brother named Charlie?
Broke his spirit.
Do you have a brother named Charlie?
Do I what?
You have a brother named Charlie, don't you?
No, I ain't got no brother. What are you talking about?
I thought you had a brother named Charlie.
Different
you were talking
guy.
About last night.
Different guy.
Sounds just like him.
Different guy.
Well, he got angry there. I didn't have no brother. It's not like
I'm not angry, Zulak. I'm just saying I ain't got no brother named Charlie.
I'm sorry. You sound like a guy called last week. He said my brother Charlie. He deferred to his brother Charlie. All right.
Oh,
it's a good take, though.
Sorry. Yeah.
No. Anything else?
Yeah, no, I think you got nobody's mentioned it. I think Butler's just, you know, he's got his spirits broke by Belichick in that Super Bowl. That's why he's an emotional player. He feeds off emotion, and now he's a little emotionally stunted by it.
You know what? You know what's interesting too. I would even go back to remember when he got on a plane and had the Bose headset on, that private jet, and he went down to New Orleans, and we all thought he had that weird Instagram post like. You know, something about money and you're thinking, okay, on
yeah,
new
that was
places.
The Saints thing. The all Saints about his money, thing. His damn
like,
money.
He was going down there like, oh, wow, they got something worked out. The physical's going to go. He's going to pass the physical. Trade's going to happen. We're getting Brandon Cooks. It was the back and forth with the Cooks thing with the first rounder with the Saints. And then he had to come back here after and deal with Gilmore being the number one guy. And that's where that tailspin. I thought Malcolm probably thought he was signed, sealed, delivered, going to the Saints. And he would have been fine from that point and probably would have been a great
player. But he still had a much better year last year than he's having this year.
Came here and you're playing like
the decline
season,
started,
right?
Though, with Gilmore. That's where it started. That's where the decline started, and it has gone.
Who'd you rather have right now, Stephon Gilmore or Malcolm Butler?
It has continued. Oh, not even close.
Gilmore's really – and I didn't like Gilmore last year at the beginning, but he played well at the end of the year.
I don't remember Zoo or anyone else saying that they didn't Butler on this team, like, altogether. Like, if you could have kept him, I think he would have been serviceable, and I think he probably would have been playing better than he is playing now, because he wouldn't necessarily be the number one corner.
This I agree with.
If Gilmore continued to improve as he has.
If Butler were here, he'd be playing better than he is now.
Yeah, they'd help him. They'd scheme it better.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's what's shocking about Vrabel is Vrabel should have known, okay, two games in, something doesn't look right. And Vrabel's coming from Houston where they got two good cover guys. And they had A.J. Bouye there, too. He's in Jacksonville now. So he should know, okay, this guy can handle it, this guy can't. We need to get him help. And then you got Logan Ryan on the other side. So, okay, this is what helped and worked, you know, in conjunction with what we did in New England to where it worked for him. Let's make it work, Mike. You know, it's just, Vrabel should know that.
Sam in New York. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm still laughing about that guy calling you Zulak.
Yeah, I know.
No, I ain't got no brother. So my theory on Malcolm Butler, and I started thinking this last year, Super Bowl kind of ruined him.
Yeah, we got you. The Super Bowl ruined him.
Well, he had the big, you know, heroic play, and especially last year in his contract years, tied up with the money, he was always going for the interception. You know, instead of being scrappy, getting a hand in, defending the pass, playing tight. He was always trying to jump the route, and I saw his last year with the Patriots, you know, when he was trying to get his money.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't win in Pittsburgh last year without him, man. He made some big tackles in that game, especially down the stretch.
He was a good tackler.
Yeah.
He was a good tackler.
You think he'd have made any tackles in that Super Bowl?
He didn't get many chances, did he?
Yeah, none at all.
Mm. But the carryover from the Super Bowl is what's led to him playing this badly?
He got paid since then, though. So, I mean, it's not like, okay.
And he's with a brand new team.
Yeah.
That welcomed him with open arms.
As
far as confidence goes,
the first guys to sign.
They were thrilled. They first day of free agency, they're all over him, offering him bags of money. So that didn't, you know, help heal his spirit after everything that went on in Minnesota. I don't know, Jason and Methuen. What do you think?
Well, I think everybody around here does not understand football. I love defensive back play. It's one of the biggest things I love watching about football since I was a kid. People are always saying, oh, Malcolm Butler sucks, this, that, and the third. What they don't realize is it's been a progression. When he was the number one guy here, very good player, ball skills was okay, hustler, we all know that, tackler, great. Ever since Gilmore, he's been behind the eight ball, trying to make plays. And I think even after this last Super Bowl with the Titans, it's the same thing. That's what you see him getting beat on double routes. You see him always looking back at the quarterback in man coverage, not even looking at his guy sometimes, or has hands on a guy looking at quarterback, ball's thrown. He's not even paying attention. He's trying to make too many big plays to compensate for, hey, I got the big contract now.
And nobody understands anything except Jason and Methuen.
He loves it. I don't look at him as a guy that takes too many chances. I look at a guy that struggles with some challenges against receivers that are bigger than him. How many times do you see him mistime a ball or not elevate at the right time? Have coverage, have really good coverage, and the ball still gets completed because the guy's 6'4". So I think I'd be shocked if he has any any assignments where he's got Gordon this week. There's no way that's going to happen. If he's got Gordon, Brady's throwing it right up at him. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you've yet in 4 years to see him elevate, go up and get a pick. That doesn't happen.
Matt's in Newton. Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, Zoe?
Go ahead.
What's up, Matt? How's Newton?
Good, good. You know, living the life here in Newton.
Mean streets, yep.
Hey, I'm glad. Huh?
Mean streets in Newton, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to watch your step around the corner, you know? Hey, just a quick comment. I'm glad I'm following that guy. I don't know what his name was, Dick, calling you Zoo. He's trying to play, like, mini psychiatrist around Malcolm Butler's getting his spirit broken. These guys are professional athletes. They're not dogs, right? I think, you know, there's training, and then there's real training.
You train dogs.
And I think that these guys, they don't dog it once they get the contract. They work. They do everything that they can. They train extra hard, you know, just a couple of different ways of training. And then they get the contract, then they don't have to train so hard. And they, you know, they don't take the risk afterwards. So I don't think it's mental or that these guys are dogs. I think that they're just doing what they can to get their contract. And once they get their contract, you know, they don't need to take, anything else.
No. Disagree. That's not why you bite like he did last week.
A bite like a dog.
On Allen Hurns.
Yeah.
That's not why he got beat the way that he got beat on a number of those plays a week ago.
It was embarrassing. Whew.
Sorry, that's not a physical performance issue. That's a smarts. That's a focus issue.
See, you have to wonder, too. Did that thing stick in your quad? Did you sleep after that? You know? Meaning, if you're Malcolm, did that keep you up at night? Should have. Probably didn't. He said, I'm going to be all right. Yeah.
We have Read and React coming your way right after this. Headlines with Hardy.
No, I ain't got no brother. What are you talking about?
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics found themselves in a 22-point deficit at one point last night, but came back to win 116-109 in overtime, largely due to their improved second-half play. Right, Marcus Smart?
Just some energy. You know, we seemed dead. We were flat. And, you know, just try to bring energy, trying to get us going, you know, moving the ball and picking up the intensity on the defensive end and trying to get out and run.
They're right back at it tonight. They visit the Utah Jazz in the second of back-to-back nights on this five-game road trip. They're now 1-2 on the trip. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell with the call. Tip-off just right around 9:30, right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Bruins fell to the Canucks, 8-5, your final from the TD Garden last night. They will play the Maple Leafs Saturday night at the Garden. And then the Vegas Golden Knights, your Western Conference champs from last year, they'll come in on Sunday night. Patriots visit Tennessee Sunday afternoon. NFL Week 10 began last night as Ben Roethlisberger completed 22 of 25 passes for 328 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. The Steelers beat the Panthers 52-21 in Pittsburgh.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the...
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can't wait for
it's
summer.
It's Friday, and that excites Zoe because we play the beat off a shark clip.
I can't wait for summer. Lob. Oh, man. You know, man, them suckers are going to multiply like crazy.
You can't wait for next summer.
Yeah.
It's November 9th.
Right, swimming around beating that shark off.
Enjoy the day.
Long way to go there, pal. Yeah. Long way to go.
I mean, I'll pace it. I'm fine. It's not like I am.
You'll pace yourself between now and Memorial Day?
Yeah, I'll be on cruise control until then.
Because in the summertime, and we're so locked in.
We'll be able to tell that how.
Yeah, 5 weeks of shit.
React.
What is that?
Thursday Night Football. Panthers lose to the Steelers 52-21. Cam Newton after the game.
I tell you what, sure enough was a humbling piece of pie, but not only that, it was a learning experience for a lot of guys, you know. And we just got to find ways to win football games, you know. We had a lot of our nose is bleeding early on, and we just got to stop it.
Well, when T.J. Watt's coming off the right edge and you can't see him, and that's your strong side, and then you almost get your shoulder taken out by him because he sticks his helmet right in it. And Aikman's even like, why does he not feel that? Because you're staring down the left side, staring left, staring left. He stares this guy's down. He really does. Now, he's having a very productive year, and I think Norv has minimized his mistakes because he cuts the field in half for him. You watch him play last night, too. Right or left? Right or left? There's no more scanning. And everything's like pushing up, pushing up. Look at this guy, Funchess. I'd run him on slants and digs all night long. They combo him off McCaffrey on a crossing route. They kept running that swing route with McCaffrey. They hit it with two touchdowns. Then he never hit it where they, boom, a little angle back inside.
That's nothing, locked in.
Nothing counterproductive to what they did that was working to where Pittsburgh adjusted, took him out of it, then he didn't hit him with something else.
And this is pacing yourself. Keep pacing yourself.
I know.
I'm good.
Nice to meet you.
I watched that whole game last night.
Welcome back.
Sure enough, was a humbling piece of pie.
Yeah. Wake up, Pittsburgh. Stop messing with your damn uniforms. You figured everything out 2 weeks ago. Then you went back to the slant numbers. Then you went back to the slant numbers. You went back to them stupid-ass blue, yellow numbers on black. Awful.
All we're going to do is talk about the Steelers. Three.
Well, you know, all right. It wasn't you guys, per se.
Time out. Don't press anything yet. Don't talk. We're an hour and 40 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
We've got 2 hours and 20 minutes left for Ken and Lowell to call. I need a wellness check on him. And Debbie and Quincy, bat signals out to you. We need you to call, too, before the show's over. Go ahead, Ari.
Free agent Dez Bryant signed with the Saints this week. We know that. Here's Dez on his decision.
You know, who wouldn't want to play, you know, with Drew Brees? You know, not taking away from nobody else, but you got a guy like Drew Brees. Like I said, you got a guy like Michael Thomas, Watson, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. Got those types of guys, you know, little baby goats, you know, around here.
Baby goats.
Little baby goats.
Nah. What are you eating? Eating cans and garbage all up on the hill? And dump it down there? That's a dirty city. It is. Turn them goats everywhere loose in the street. They can eat all that trash.
They're really more for the foliage areas.
Really?
Than they are for trash. For trash pickup.
Sure? Yeah, goats eat trash,
I
man.
I think you send them into, they bring goats into golf courses to clear out like underbrush areas.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing now.
Oh, yeah.
And they eat it all?
Yep. Yeah. They used them over at George Wright and Hyde Park. You're out there playing, you're look over there, there's goats over there. Just cleaning up the spots where the groundskeepers don't have time to get to. I just bring the goats in. They'll take care
supposedly
of
like
them.
Like
leaves? Will they eat your leaves?
You never saw the soccer movie, The Big Green? They had the goat clean off the field.
No.
They had the soccer field.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Never saw that one.
It's like Sandlot era.
No, it is not.
Will they eat your leaves like so you don't have to rake your yard? Will they do that for you?
It seems like it might be easier just to get out there for 20 minutes with a rake.
You know you can bring ducks in? Like if you have a vineyard.
Yesterday. It took a long time.
If you have a vineyard and you have grapes, snails and slugs,
yes.
You bring the ducks in, they will eat them all. And not bug your crop.
I heard the Saints also brought in Brandon Marshall, sorry, you suck, pal.
React. Stop it, Jim. That's not funny.
Thank you.
It's not funny.
Jim's part
funny.
Of it. Now Jim's part of it.
You're encouraging that. By the way, T-Bone says he eats goat.
T-Bone eats goat meat?
He says it's a very healthy meat.
Yeah.
Goat.
Oh.
He said he hasn't eaten it, but he's heard it's healthy.
Oh.
The other white meat.
Yeah.
Goat.
Goat.
Last week, Saints beat the Rams.
What, do you go to Istanbul?
I feel that. Zulak wants to know if you go to Istanbul.
Okay.
Not Cotton Stand to Poople.
I watched it.
Istanbul.
You're going to laugh, and I'm telling you about my memory. I watched
gonna
one
laugh? You're going to make us laugh.
Andrew Zimmern. I watched that, like, Bizarre Foods. And he went, they cooked this goat in a clay pot. They cut the entire goat up. And they put, like, full onions, everything in it. And they buried this sucker in the ground around these coals. Covered it. Buried it for, like, a day. Came back, and the goat stood. It was unbelievable.
Goat was still alive?
No. It all comes together.
What was that?
What falls apart? But it was just like they sit around and pour it all in a big bowl and they eat it with their hands. Like, you don't know utensils.
And we're going to laugh at that.
Like, no, it looked delicious. Like, I want some of that goat. And it was like curry and everything. It was awesome. Oh, I was like, I'd try that because I like stews. It looked like, imagine that. You cook it like that for an entire day and it just all sort of emulsifies itself in the, Look it up, I'm telling you.
Continue, Hardy.
I can't.
He said it.
Marcus Peters has a message for Sean Payton.
What did he say?
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit.
We're going to see him soon.
Oh. Whoa. Whoa.
You saw him last week.
Hold on a second.
You know, you were down there last week.
Yeah, you're just there. Hold on. What'd you say?
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We're going to see him soon.
Oh, God.
You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him, keep talking that shit. And I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Ooh. Sounds good. I get it, because they're in New Orleans.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't understand why they're going to have a bowl of gumbo together.
You know what?
Sean Payton. He's gonna emulsify him in a big bowl of gumbo in Istanbul.
Well, they're going to cook it underground with the coals for about a day.
Sean Payton seems like one of those dicky coaches that talks crap during the game.
Like Belichick.
And Bill doesn't do that much.
No?
Only if the player goes at him.
Mason?
Mason was screaming.
Look at the scoreboard, Mason.
Mason, shut up.
Oh, shut up, Mason. That's one of my favorites. That really is. That's in
Peters is probably right, though, because you know who's coming back soon? Akeem Talib's coming back. He was on IR. Got hurt early in the year.
They said he
looks good, too. Like he was on sidelines all yoked up. You know, he's got a little crazy in him.
Oh, yeah.
So you put crazy together, that's gonna be a dogfight if they meet each other in the playoffs. Great job by the defense. Belling your tail out.
React. Belling the old tail. All right. Bill Cowher, Football Life, premieres tonight.
Oh, this is good.
This
is good.
Cameo from Bill Belichick.
What's it called? Let's go.
Cowher eventually became the Browns' defensive backs coach. In 1989, he followed Schottenheimer to Kansas City to become defensive coordinator.
If I'm an outside linebacker,
to prepare for the job and learn more about coaching linebackers, Cowher met with a young Giants assistant.
Toss out a strong. We got the fullback trap.
There was a point in time there when Bill, who was primarily a secondary coach, coached linebackers for Marty. And I had primarily coached linebackers. Then I moved from linebackers to defensive backs.
I said, why don't we get together and I'll talk to you in the morning about defensive back play and you talk to me in the afternoon about linebacker play.
We met at Giants Stadium on a Saturday in the spring. And just must have been 12 hours. And so that was kind of the start of a really great relationship.
For 2 years, 89 and 90, we were both coordinators, and we shared, like, information and back and forth a little bit. Not often, but periodically, and we got to know each other.
All right, let me give you a hypothetical.
Go ahead.
Josh McDaniels calls up another team, another coordinator, says, hey, why don't you come join me at Gillette Stadium some Saturday afternoon?
12 hours.
We'll sit around for 12 hours in the team facility and share information. You think Bill Belichick would be cool with that?
It doesn't seem like something that he would be okay with.
Yeah, if it's football related, yes. And if it's not going to hurt you with an opponent, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
But don't you see now that's the whole point?
Dude, they get off on that.
You don't know if it's going to help you with an opponent because down the road, that guy could end up being a head coach of someone else that you're coaching.
Plus, you're also picking his
brain. So, yes.
Yeah, no, it's a truly beneficial relationship. But I'm just wondering, like, invite you into the facility the way Bill Belichick was hosting people at Giant Stadium
like
on a Saturday in the offseason?
The guy would...
like, come on in. Take a look around.
I like people. I got a lot of important people around me that I dig and... who would you want to spend 12 hours on a Saturday straight with?
I think
you pick your perfect Saturday where you say, I want to spend 12 hours with this one person?
I don't want to spend 12 hours doing anything. It's a long time.
Yeah.
But for break. Like one of Bill's assistants to do that now, could you imagine what Bill would say to him? You must have everything all figured out. If you can spend 12 hours just playing wet nurse to somebody and trying to show them the ropes, you must be a genius. You must have this whole game figured out, game plan for the rest of the season. You got no more work to do of your own. You're just going to start giving it away. Oh, yeah. It's good to know.
How would it go over now? If that happened now, 30 years later.
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't.
What if it's Vrabel? What's if a guy like Vrabel? You know? Say Teddy Bruschi got a gig or was coaching somewhere. Yeah, come on, Teddy. We'll talk defense for 12 hours.
No.
Flores, the new defensive coordinator, used to coach linebackers, right? So maybe he brings a secondary coach that's now a defensive coordinator from another team in the AFC to Gillette for 12 hours to share information? No.
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 Three.
They get broke by in the wall.
React.
That's it for me.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Phil Perry will be with us coming up at noontime. Coming up next, we're going to give away a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed your fandom on this Friday. We will do that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
It's a hand signal, Hardy. How's it go?
I would die for you.
Great rejoin. Love this.
Do it.
I would die for you.
If we could just get like one of those GIF images of that. You're good. One more chance. Here we go.
I can't do it.
Here, sing it.
I would die for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you get it?
It's Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom. StopandShop.com is where you go for that.
Good.
Yeah. Caller 10 right now. Phil Perry's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour, 617-779-0985. You want to jump on board for that. We'll continue to talk about the Patriots matchup in Nashville this weekend. So there's a million people going there. We've got more tweets today for people that are on their way there. On their way.
Giardi said the airport is just full of Pats fans.
You told me this morning Delta added seven flights from here to there.
They added seven flights, and I got a buddy, it's a bartender down there, moved about 5 years ago down there. He said it's a takeover.
City, yeah.
Full wide city takeover.
This is going to be one of the biggest traveling road games for the Patriots in a long time.
Remember when the schedule came out, you and I had some information on it, people were going nuts. Like, yes. wait, and it's not Miami, it's this one.
Yep. Nope. It's gonna be a lot of blue and red, and not the Titans blue and red with their hideous uniforms.
Oh God, they ruined it, man.
Nautical blue. Nautical blue. As Bob Sosie would say.
Naval.
Mm-hmm. It would be the Patriots colors that you will see all over the stadium on Sunday.
Behave down
there, here's the thing, though. I think there's a lot of people going that don't have tickets.
Well, good luck.
Right?
Yeah. I was told the team is short tickets. And that never happens. They usually get whatever they ask for. Team is short tickets. So, yeah, if you don't have tickets already, I don't know what to tell you. Because I don't know what I can't remember what the tailgating lake was around. The city's like right there on the river, and now you have to go across the river, and the stadium's on the other side of the river. So it's all, you could walk.
Everything's close.
It's a great
location. Close to downtown.
I think that's why people want to do it. You know, it's close to Broadway and that. You just want to walk around.
There is another random story that I did want to mention if we had a free minute today, and I think we have one right now. Did anyone here see the announcement related to TD Garden and its expansion? Did you read this?
I saw the email, but I didn't read the whole thing. I mean, is this the same stuff we were talking about during the home opener?
I have no clue. What did we talk about the home opener? Okay, there's a new entrance that we discussed, maybe.
Okay, so Jeremy Jacobs and Charlie Jacobs were down there for the...
Oh, you were down there.
Yeah, the extended pregame on Columbus Day.
Oh,
and they were
okay.
talking about the big TD Garden expansion where there's going to be like... I think it's a Stop and Shop is going to be on the lower levels. There's going to be a supermarket down there.
Okay, well, that's different from what they announced today.
Okay.
No, I know what you're talking about, and that is the sort of that hub area.
Yes,
that's
the hub on Causeway.
Okay, hub on Causeway is a little different. That's going to have a lot of stuff in it, and obviously if you've been over there. I was at the Garden last weekend. I went to Comics Come Home, which was awesome, by the way.
You know that.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I told you that.
Your dad told me that.
Yeah, and I texted with you.
I thought I saw Jay Miller. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't.
Yeah, I saw Jay Miller, and he said, I watch you guys on the simulcast every day. Tell Zolak he's an ugly SOB.
Yeah, right.
And then I did.
Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I told you that. I texted you that night. You knew I was there.
Yeah.
So, you know the escalators, though? right outside of what is now the Bruins Pro Shop area, which is on the second level, and right in front of our Star Market broadcast studios.
Yeah.
You know the escalator that's directly in front of it, guys?
Yes.
It's gone.
What?
It's not there anymore.
Cut a leaf.
It's a full floor. There's no stairs that go down there anymore. You can walk straight out and walk straight ahead where there was once a wall, and now there are all these doors that go into the Hub on Causeway area that go through this brand new landing that comes in directly from the front of the building on Causeway Street.
Is it open?
Is what open?
I mean, is
yes.
it?
Yes. It's open on game days.
I'm so confused.
It's
right
open
now.
On event days now. They have it open on events. Yes. Because the other escalator and stairs that were there have vanished. There's now a floor there. There's no place to go down. There is on the other side still.
They do it at wall.
I was going to say, what they do with the escalator?
There's one. That Jack Cameron.
There's one on the other side still that used to come down by the old McDonald's. But
what do you literally do with an escalator? We got two of them here.
They ripped it out.
One goes up, one goes down.
Strange people to get off the train and go down the escalator.
So I'm thinking like, wow, it's a big difference. Yeah. And then they announced today they're adding 50,000 square feet to the gardens. 50,000 square feet of new space in and around garden. They're basically doing like you would do an addition to your house.
Are they digging down?
They're doing an addition to TD Garden.
Jesus.
With parts of the new building out front being connected into the
garden.
Good for
them.
It's wild. There's a lot. It's going to look very different. The garden is going to be a lot different and more improved than the already recent improvements they've done. It's going to be quite the building. Quite the building on Causeway Street for the Bruins and for the Celtics. So if you haven't seen any of this, you can check it out for yourself. I mean, the announcement was made, and they're putting $100 million into the building.
Wow.
And expanding in a big, major way. So 50,000 more square feet, including the new entry and all of that. Yeah. So I thought it was worth a mention today.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive stuff. I won't lie.
We need to see that.
I will. It'd be exciting when it's all done. Yeah. And again, I was blown away. The fact that I'm like, whoa, there used to be an escalator and stairs here.
No kidding.
Zoe and I would run down this every day after the show. What happened to it?
Felger be running up.
Gone.
Late. Yep. Wow.
It's gone.
So you have to come
through
the wall.
Felger's going to come up the other one now when he gets there.
Yeah.
They're parked by the other.